Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship leaders, singers, musicians. What a good time of worship we've enjoyed already. Man, I enjoy worship. How about you? Amen. It's given back to God. Amen. Grateful to be in the house of the Lord. Please keep in your prayers Pastor Brown as he ministers in Wisconsin today. And I think it would be all right if you would just take some special time this week and pray for all of our students, many of our children, middle school, high school are going back to school, and then also our campus ministries and college students coming here from all over the world, and we're thankful for the some that are even in the house today. And as Elaine mentioned, this event this afternoon, everybody can be involved in some way, just show up and get engaged and talk to somebody and see what happens. I believe there's going to be opportunity to intersect some lives today that God needs us to be there. Amen. Now, I'm a little nervous today, so pray for me. And I'm going to address a subject, a very sensitive subject during this message, one of which may have affected you and even traumatized you in your life at some point. And I'm not, traumatize you any further by even mentioning it, but I believe that the Holy Ghost wants us to address it in order that we bring hope and deliverance to the subject. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I'm blessed. How are you? I'm blessed. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Through the years of preaching, and I mean a few years, I have observed many reactions to preaching, and I'm not referring to the spiritual response or reaction necessarily to the gospel message, because I've seen all kinds of mixed reactions in that regard. But I want to just preface this message with referring to some immediate responses to preaching. I may have been around church long enough to see some funny things happen in church. Amen. I could begin now and just tell you some of the most hilarious things I've seen happen in church. I know you, I baited you, and you're probably saying, tell us at least one, and I will. I saw a preacher get real excited during an altar service one time. He had a microphone similar to this, and he was so excited during the altar service that he was doing one of these things. Dealt with one of these come apart. And this microphone came apart, not this one, in case you see me. But the microphone came apart. All he was left was holding the empty shell of the bottom half. The heavy part with the head and all that in it went flying through the congregation. It was during an altar service, and people were being touched by God, and it was I was on the end of the altar service on that side, and I saw the whole thing happen, and it was very difficult for me to remain spiritual. Because when that microphone went flying through the crowd, it hit a woman and bounced off, and the preacher was standing there with what was left of the microphone in his hand, and he would look at his hand. And then he looked at the woman and looked at his hand like, I can't believe this just happened to me. And I've seen some things during preaching also that's very interesting. And one of the common immediate responses during preaching is someone to say amen. You want to practice that? Amen. That sounds good. Amen means so be it true. And sometimes that amen is a response by the hearer of preaching that confirms what the speaker is saying is true, and it's a response of confirmation. So on occasion, a preacher will make a statement, and the people will say amen, which basically that response means we believe that's true. Or the preacher will make a statement when the people are not responding vocally, the preacher will ask for an amen. Have you ever heard that? Like he'll say something and it's real quiet and he'll go, amen? try not to put me in that position. It's uncomfortable for preachers. Now, I noticed that when Jesus spoke, he would put the amen before he made a statement. For example, in John 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, or amen, amen, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Jesus put the amen before he made the statement. And again in verse 5 of John 3, Jesus said, verily, verily, or amen, amen, I say unto you, except a man be born again, born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And the reason Jesus could put the amen in front of his statement is that Jesus did not, he doesn't need anyone to affirm or confirm or verify the truth, because he is the truth. And what he says is already affirmed, already confirmed, already verified, and forever established and settled in heaven. So when we hear preaching, it's for our own good to say amen to truth. Because when we do, we are affirming and confirming and verifying that truth into our own hearts, minds, souls, and bodies. And the Word of God is life. Amen. Jesus even taught us to say amen after we pray, to affirm and confirm and verify what we pray in faith. And Matthew 6, 9, Jesus said, after this manner pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, our faults, our sins, as we forgive our debtors, those who have offended us, those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Which means, so be it in my life. So when Jesus taught us to pray, he said, you need to, when you pray with faith, you need to conclude that with an amen, which means, so be it true in my life. So, amen are more is more than just a word spoken after prayer. You actually, are you with me? When you say amen to your prayers, you're prophesying. So when you pray in a spiritual realm, and your spiritual interaction with God in prayer, that's released through spoken words so that you might gain the reality or the substance of the things unseen. Is anybody going to go to class with me here today? Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when you pray things that are not seen and you say amen on your prayer of faith, you're prophesying so that God can release the things and the dimensions change from a spiritual dimension to a reality, a manifestation that is tangible, that you can see. I'm going to teach for here just for a moment, all right? And somebody needs to know that when you say a little amen after prayer, it's not just a habit, it's a statement of faith. And also during preaching, it's good for us to say amen because it's prophesying and confirming the word that was just released. Amen. It also helps a preacher a little bit. Amen. So back to what I was saying, the different responses I've seen during preaching, every church has a personality, you know. Some are quiet, some are loud. Music styles vary, worship styles vary, service structures vary, preaching styles vary. It's all good if it's all truth. It's all good if it's all about Jesus. It's all good if we're speaking the truth in love. And I could tell you lots of stories about responses to preaching, but some of the most common ones, I remember, you'll hear this every once in a while when somebody's preaching, somebody way back in the back will say, preach it, brother. And another, somebody may say, amen, brother. Somebody else may say, that's right. It's all confirming what they're hearing, right? And I've been in some situations, I was preaching one church one time, and the bishop got real excited, and he would stand up. And he's the one that introduced me to speak, but he would stand up during the preaching. He would say something like, that's right, Dr. Jackson. I'd kind of pause from that. I just go on preaching again a few minutes later. He said, "That's right, Dr. Jackson, you're preaching." I don't know who Dr. Jackson was, but that was his response. Amen. I've had, during preaching, people respond by coming up and shining my shoes before. Now, I try to take care of that at home. That's not necessary. Anybody ever do that? Don't even get an idea. But I've been in that setting before. I've even had them come up and, they didn't shine my head. They wiped my head because I was perspiring a little bit, and they would wipe the sweat off my head. And that's a little uncomfortable. Don't get any ideas. That's why I've calmed down in my preaching a lot, because I don't want anybody getting that idea. I'm sweating up here. And it's a little awkward. And, you know, all you can do is just kind of lean into it, like, it's a little distracting. I'm just saying, I've seen a lot of stuff. And one of my favorites was right here. We had a dear sister here for a time that when you really preach something that she thought was good, she would very quietly say, "You hear that? You hear that?" And that was an indication that she was tuning in. And she wanted everybody else to tune in because she thought that preacher was saying something very valuable at that point. She'd say, "You hear that? You hear that?" And one particular church, there was a good brother who loved truth preaching. And whenever we were preaching, and whenever any preacher would preach with some kind of enthusiasm or demonstration or intensity or something edifying, if it struck that brother's heart as good preaching, he would stand up. And sometimes it was a little awkward because sometimes you'd do this and it wasn't exactly at the right point. It didn't seem like anyway, but to him it did. And he would stand up and this is the way he would say it. He'd say, "Hot dog! Hot dog!" He probably worked at the baseball stadium at some point, but that's exactly what he would do. He would get to feel in the spirit. He'd stand up and say, "Hot dog, hot dog." I preached there many occasions. He was very consistent. And if you didn't get a hot dog, you didn't preach. So one of the ultimate one, and I'm going to address this one today. It's kind of the inspiration for this message. It was at a youth congress several years ago, and Pastor Wayne Huntley was preaching, and many of you know him. He's a tremendous preacher, a revivalist, and a great presenter of the Word of God. And he was preaching in this large stadium. There were about 20,000 people there. There was a young man behind us, and some of you that may have attended that same youth congress were sitting with us. You may have heard this man. Obviously, there's no way with that many people that his response was being heard by the preacher who was hundreds of yards away. This verbal response that he had began with a simple amen. Pastor Huntley would preach, he'd say, "Amen." He was affirming and confirming and verifying that preaching was edifying his own heart, soul, and life. But then it became very interesting, because not only would he say, "Amen," but then he moved over to, "Oh, baby." Just the way he said it, "Oh, baby." And then he added hallelujah to "oh, baby," and I don't know, it was very unique. He said, "Oh, baby, hallelujah. Amen, oh, baby, hallelujah." That's the way he'd say it. And then it went a little farther. He'd say, "Oh, baby, hallelujah, this man's on fire." And he'd say that maybe for the next few responses, and then it got better. He'd say, "Oh, baby, hallelujah." And then he'd stand up and go, "Cha-ching, cha-ching." Pastor Huntley would say something good, and he'd go, "Cha-cha-ching." And I was a little distracted. I really wasn't hearing what Pastor Huntley was saying anymore. I was zeroing in on this guy. "Oh, baby, hallelujah, this man's on fire. Cha-ching." And then the response that really caught my attention, so when he said this, he stood to his feet and he went through the whole thing again. "Oh, baby, hallelujah. this man's on fire. Cha-ching! And then he said, this is what I get up for every morning. He was screaming it to the preacher. This is what I get up for every morning. He was excited about his life in Christ. And what he was saying at that point, at least what I discerned, was he was affirming and confirming and verifying in his heart that he had a reason for living. That he had a reason to get up every morning. Some motivation that was greater than anything in life was the truth of the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ, the reality of what Jesus had done in his life to change and transform his life. Yeah, he was a new convert, I found out. And I found out that God had brought him a mighty long way. But when he heard truth, he said, this is what I get up for every morning. Now, I realize that some among us may say, I'm not a morning person. I don't do mornings. That's all right. However, I think it would be all right if every one of us would get into an attitude of cha-ching, cha-ching. Oh, baby, hallelujah. This is what I get up for every morning. My life in Christ is what I get up for every morning. Hey, may I remind some of us that before we were born again, the Scripture describes us as being dead in our trespasses and sins, without Christ, without God, without hope, and without peace. We got up in the morning to do the things of the flesh and walk according to the course of this world, fulfilling the lust of the flesh and of our minds. And some of us maybe did some good things in life before we were born again. We had some good pursuits, and we didn't do everything evil and sinister and sinful, but nevertheless, before we were born again, we had no eternal purpose. Before we were baptized in the Holy Ghost, before we were baptized in the name of Jesus, before we repented of our sins, we were just getting up every morning to live life in the flesh and for our own will to be done and just to experience the natural. And in so doing, we got what we could get out of life. We'd get up and we would go to work and we'd play and we'd go to sleep. And the next day we'd get up and we'd go to work and we'd go to play and we'd go to sleep. And then we'd do it again. Every morning we got up, we ate, we drank, we worked, we played, we slept. And many of us got so disenchanted with that life that we would dread the next day. But aren't you glad on this morning? Aren't you glad on this morning that you've got a higher reason, a higher purpose than you had back then? Oh, somebody ought to give him some praise right now. This is what we get up for every morning. My Lord. Glory to God. Sometimes the trials of life and the troubles of life pile up so much, and the problems multiply and magnify so much that some dread getting up another day to face their troubles, to have to fight through the mess. Some dread facing another day because it's simply the same old, same old. No joy, no peace, no contentment, no purpose of living. Some dread getting up in the morning because they don't expect anything good to happen. They're just pessimists. I was with a group of people the other day, and this lady's over here laughing, having a good time, and this gentleman that I'm acquainted with, who's kind of a nego, he walked by and he was mumbling. He said, man, she sure laughs a lot. I wanted to say, what I wanted to do was grab him by the back of the shirt and turn him around and say, you ought to try it sometime. Well, that was pretty good preaching. I didn't hear anybody say amen, but that was really good. Some dread to get up in the morning because they don't expect anything good to happen. Rather, they wake up in fear that something worse will happen today than what happened yesterday. Some dread getting up in the morning because they're still facing the same situation and issues that they could not overcome the day before. Some dread getting up in the morning because they still hear the same bad news that was heavy on them the day before. And so many, too many, are so fearful and worried about their tomorrows that they choose an early exit from this life. Simply because they think they don't have anything good to wake up to in the morning. Now, in the United States of America alone, there is a suicide every 11 minutes and an attempted suicide every 40 seconds. And the leading cause of suicide is untreated depression and stress. And I say today, in the name of Jesus, may God's word and God's spirit come against every thought, even the spirit of self-destruction and self-harm and suicide. In the name of Jesus, the answer to depression and stress is not self-harm and suicide. The answer is life. And life is Jesus. I have a word for the downhearted today. I have a word for the miserable souls that are troubled and haunted by fear and defeatism and despair, that are troubled by insecurity and the spirit of failure. The answer to no joy is Jesus. The answer to no peace is Jesus. The answer to no hope is Jesus. When we have Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we have hope that's beyond this world. We have a purpose that's higher than any purpose of life. When you have Jesus, you're going to have joy. When you have Jesus, you're going to have peace. When you have Jesus, you're going to have contentment. When you have Jesus, you're going to be satisfied in your soul. This is what we get up for every morning, Jesus. I want to bring some hope and encouragement to somebody here today. Let me teach for just a moment. Jeremiah was our case in point from the scripture. He was God's prophet. He was called of God. God called Jeremiah at an early age, when perhaps even when he was a teenager. And he said, Jeremiah, I want you to know that your life has purpose. Jeremiah started out attempting to do what the Lord had commissioned and called him to do. But after several years of preaching with no amens, Jeremiah couldn't get an amen from anybody. Because everything didn't develop like Jeremiah thought it should, he became stressed and depressed. Tune in right now. Because Jeremiah wasn't pleased with the way things didn't develop or didn't happen in his life. Didn't develop like he thought it should. Somebody ought to hear the Holy Ghost speak to you right now. He felt like things were not developing like he thought it should. He became stressed and depressed. And you hear his testimony while he's in this state of depression. And I'll lift this slightly paraphrased from the scripture. Jeremiah at one point said, I have reached my limit. Fear, stress, and depression has taken its toll on me. I am the man who has seen nothing but trouble. I've been brought into darkness where there's no light. Jeremiah declared, even God is against me. I'm broken. I'm tired. I cannot get out. I'm trapped in my dilemma. These are the words of Jeremiah. He said, my chains are heavy. The Lord does not hear my prayer. My life is broken in pieces and cannot be repaired. This is what he said. Nobody likes me. I've been rejected. Everybody hates me. I have no peace. I have no money. My strength is gone. My hope is perished. I'm in misery and don't want to get up another morning. That's what he said. He was in a dark place, questioning why he was even born. He even is recorded twice in the book of Jeremiah and Lamentations. He said, "Cursed be the day that I was born. I wish I would have never been born." This is a very serious stress and depression. And was Jeremiah suicidal? Indications say, yes, he was suicidal. It would have not been strange to read in the scripture that at one point Jeremiah said, "I'm out of here." They threw him in a pit and left him there. He spent time in prison. Nothing the Lord had told him was going to come to pass was coming to pass. Somebody hear this right now. It's a good thing Jeremiah didn't give up on life at this point. It's a good thing that Jeremiah got up one more morning. Because Jeremiah found out that even though he felt like God had let him down, even though Jeremiah experienced the silence of God, he found out that even in the silence, God was working in his life. Even in the darkest times, God was working in his life. Even when it seemed the night season of gloom and doom would never end, Jeremiah found out that God works the night shift. He found out that the process was in progress. He found out that the process of God's will and God's destiny for his life was in progress. Hear it again. The process was in progress. Tell somebody beside you, your process is in progress. Speak it like you've got faith and you believe the word of God. That person sitting beside you may be depressed. That person sitting beside you may be going through hell on earth. That person sitting beside you or behind you may be going through the worst time of their life and they seem like God's not hearing their prayer. Turn to them and tell them one more time, your process is in progress. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." In Lamentations 3, we have the testimony of Jeremiah. And he says this, "I have hit rock bottom, but there's one thing I do remember. And when I remember it, I get a grip on hope." And he said, one thing I do remember, through the darkness, through the silence, through the despair, through the depression, through all the suicidal thoughts, God's love cannot run out. His merciful love will never dry up, and he never did give up on me. I got a word of faith for somebody here today. It don't matter what your world looks like, the love of God will never give up on you. Lamentations 3 and verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Verse 23, "They are new every morning." This is what we get up for every morning. They're new every morning. "Great is your faithfulness." His loving kindness is created new every morning. It's just like the daily bread he said you ought to pray for. He's got you, ladies and gentlemen. Child, he's got you in his love. He's got you in his eyes. He's got you in his heart. And he's not going to let you down, because great is his faithfulness. Jeremiah didn't quit. He didn't quit on life. He didn't give up on God. No matter how bad it was or how silent God was, Jeremiah kept on talking to God. Hear me now. Jeremiah kept on talking to God. Jeremiah kept on praying. Jeremiah kept on asking God. And Jeremiah kept on remembering what he got up for every morning. And that is the tender mercies and love and compassions of his God. Hallelujah. And when he spoke that. Did you hear what I said? When he spoke that, his attitude changed. His outlook changed. I feel a little preaching coming on here today. My Lord. His speech changed. In Lamentations 3, verse 24, and I paraphrase from another version. You may not notice this on the screen, but what he's saying, paraphrase is, I'm sticking with God. He's all I've got left. Oh, I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but when all your emotions are drained and all your good feelings are drained and all your happiness has been torn apart, you still got Jesus on the inside. It may be all you've got left, but when you got Jesus, you've got enough to rebound. You've got enough to get up one more morning. Verse 25, he said, God proves to be good to those who wait on him and seek him. 26, he said, it's a good thing to quietly hope and wait for your help from God. Verse 27, it's a good thing to stick it out through hard times because the process is in progress. Verse 28, he said, when life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself and enter the silence and bow down in prayer. Verse 29, and wait for hope to appear. I got a word for somebody. Wait for God to strengthen you. Wait on God to uphold you. Verse 30 says, don't run from your trouble. The worst is never the worst. Verse 31, why? Because the master won't ever walk out, and the master will not ever fail to return. He has compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Are we ready? Are you ready to put this word of faith into action in your life? Then you need to get happy as well as holy and say, I get up every morning for this purpose, and that is to magnify Jesus in my life. We get up every morning to find the mercy of God for another day. Can I get an amen from somebody? We get up every morning to hold the hope that Jesus has given to us through salvation. Hey, we get up every morning to give praise and thanks to the one who saved us. We get up every morning to walk and talk with Jesus. This is why we get up every day, is to remember the goodness of the Lord and to realize one more time, I am a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's what I get up for every morning. We get up every morning to realize one more time and confirm and affirm and verify in our hearts that Jesus died on the cross, taking our sins to the cross and nailing all that was against us to that cross, knowing that Jesus was taken from the cross and buried in a cold, dark tomb, only to walk out under his own power 3 days later. Oh yeah, he got up one morning. He got up one morning and change the course of eternity for mankind. That's what we get up for every morning, is knowing that he is the resurrection and the life. And because he lives, we can live also. Because he lives, all fear of death is gone. That's what we get up for every morning, knowing that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's what we get up for every morning, knowing that we're one day closer to the coming of the Lord. We're one day closer to spending eternity in the presence of God. That's what we get up for every morning, to tell the devil one more time. Oh yeah, you ought to do this every morning. Get up and tell the devil one more time, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise, and when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. That's what we get up for every morning, to discover the things that God freely gives to his kids. That's what we get up for every morning, is to say, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. That's what we get up for every morning, to walk in the newness of life. That's what we get up for every morning, to face the challenges of life, knowing that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Can I get a witness in the house today? I don't know what you got up for this morning, but I got up to give my Lord some praise. We get up every morning knowing that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. This is why we get up every morning, is to say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. This is why we get up every morning, to fulfill our purpose and our destiny in Him. This is why we get up every morning, is to enjoy the joy that the world didn't give to us, and the world can't take it away. Oh, I think we ought to take a praise break right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to leap for joy with me right now. Hallelujah. We get up every morning to enjoy the joy, walk the walk, sing the song, live the life, believe and receive, possess the promises, bless the blesser, keep the faith, run the race, pursue the promise. We get up every morning to raise some praise, do we not? I think it'd be all right to raise some praise in the house today. If you know you've got eternal purpose, you've got to praise. We get up every morning to affirm and confirm and verify our experience in Christ, that we've been bought with a price. Therefore, we ought to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. I'm trying to help somebody here today. I'm trying to bring hope and encouragement to somebody here today, because somebody hearing this, you need a new reason for getting up every morning. You need a new reason for getting up every morning. If you didn't wake up with the salvation of God in your life today, you're missing the very reason for existence. If you didn't wake up this morning with the salvation of God in your life, you're really not living the way God designed you to live. But I got good news for you today. You don't have to dread another day. No matter what life circumstances are today, if you can have Jesus in your life, if you get eternal life in you, you're going to be like the man in the grandstands. You're going to be standing up every morning saying, oh, yeah, baby, hallelujah, cha-ching, cha-ching. This is what I get up for every morning. Hey, hey, you might as well enjoy your salvation. Oh, you see, what the deal is nobody knows like you know what Jesus has done for you. And nobody knows like I know what Jesus has done for me. Can you talk to yourself right now? Ain't nobody knows. Oh, we've heard your testimony, but you ain't told it all. No. Oh, we've heard some testimonies, but you ain't heard everything that person has to say about themselves. Because they know, and only they know, and God knows where God truly found them. Oh, you can hear their testimony, how God brought them out of this and God delivered out of this. But you know, that's worth shouting on, but you really don't know the whole story. But each individual that can hear my voice right now, you know. I know, and I'm willing to share some of it, but I ain't telling it all. I'll testify to the glory of God, but I don't have to tell it all. Because it's under the blood. It's as far as the east is from the west. It's in a sea of forgetfulness. It's behind God's back. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody ought to thank Jesus today just because you've been saved. I think I'll testify while I have a chance. Musicians, if you want to come, I don't know if we even need any music today. I feel like we could just go ahead and praise God anyhow. Hallelujah. In case you don't remember, we used to get up every morning without hope and without peace. Now we get up with a new song of joy and hope. We used to get up every morning to walk in darkness, but now we get up to walk in the light. We used to get up every morning to sing the blues. Now we get up to sing the good news. We used to get up to cuss and fuss in the world, but now we get up to bless the name of the Lord. We used to get up to seek the pleasures of sin, but now we get up to walk the highway of holiness. We used to get up to fulfill the lust of the flesh and mind, but now we get up to walk in the Spirit. We used to fill our mind with natural things, but now we get up every morning with our mind stayed on Jesus. We used to love the world and the things of the world, but now we walk around the house singing, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. We used to look for love and acceptance in all the wrong places. Now we get up every morning saying, I know I am accepted and loved by Jesus Christ. We used to seek the treasures of this world, but now we sit around saying, I wouldn't trade Jesus for silver or gold. We used to walk in the flesh, but now we walk as our steps are ordered of the Lord. We used to have chains of bondage, but now we get up every morning and walk in freedom. We used to get up with condemnation. Now we get up with liberation. We used to get up with fear. Now we get up with faith. We used to get up every morning to get drunk. Now we get up every morning to drink the new wine of the Holy Ghost. We used to get up every morning to dance at night in the world. Now we get up every morning to dance for Jesus. We used to get up every morning with hate. Now we get up every morning loving everybody. We used to get up and be unthankful. Now we get up and every day's Thanksgiving Day. We used to get up to the same old, but now we get up every morning to the newness of life in Christ Jesus. This is what we get up for every morning. I heard David say it like this in Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that every morning I get up, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. That's what we get up for every morning. Hallelujah. Psalm 23, verse 1. David said, I'm going to tell you what I get up for every morning. I get up every morning to follow my shepherd. And when I follow my shepherd, Psalm 23, verse 1, when I follow my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack any good thing. David said, this is what I get up for every morning. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leads me beside the still waters. That's peace. And verse 3, He restores my soul. This is what I get up for every morning. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. This is what I get up for every morning, to know that You are with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Your protection and Your guidance has comforting me. In verse 5, I get up every morning. This ought to be good for lunch right now. I get up every morning to go to a table that's prepared for me, even in the presence of mine enemies. God's got some things ready. God's got some things prepared for them that love Him. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Do you realize, child of faith, that every morning you get up, God's got the table spread. He's got grace. He's got love. He's got mercy. He's got compassion. He's got deliverance. He's got provision. He's got comfort. He's got peace. It's all at the table. This is what we get up for every morning. David said, this is what I get up for every morning. He anoints my head with oil. And I lift my cup, and He fills it up till it overflows. David said, this is what I get up for every morning, to have the blessed assurance that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm bringing a word of hope and faith and encouragement to somebody here today. Child, if you've been down, if you've been depressed, if you've been stressed, if your life is in chaos, you ought to make a move toward this word of faith today and the Holy Spirit of God and say, you know what? I'm going to step into this. Hallelujah. I want to be like the fella in the Colosseum that would say, oh, baby, hallelujah. This is what I get up for every morning. I may be sick in body. I may have some things going on in life. But every morning I get up, Brother Rick, I'm going to stand to my feet. I'm going to raise my voice. And I'm going to say, Lord, this is the day that you gave me. You put breath in my lungs. And I heard somebody say, everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. I would that everything that hath breath that's hearing this word right now would begin to praise God. And somebody that's discouraged, somebody that's depressed would get set free. God, you may leave this house today and must say, they sure do get excited in church. Well, y'all try it sometime. Just saying. Turn to your neighbor one more time. Say, your process is in progress. You may be in the heat of a battle right now, but you don't have to wait until the battle's over to shout the victory. Because God's got your back. Your process is in progress. And it may seem like God's silent, but God's silence still speaks. God's silence says your process is in progress. Hold on to me. Hallelujah. Just a few moments ago, I mentioned suicide and suicidal thoughts. And if I would just take the research and the statistics, in a crowd this size and those that are listening in another manner, there's a greater percentage than we may think of people hearing this that have contemplated suicide or have attempted suicide. You're hearing it right now. You say, oh, Pastor, that's a downer. No, it's not. That's not really a downer because you're still standing. I'm still standing. We're still here. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. That scripture alone has delivered some of us from the pit of despair. And I'm just going to deal with this just one more minute, then I'm going to release you. But to hear that spoken in church, some folks say, oh, we shouldn't be talking about depression and suicide and despair in church. Somebody say, whatever. If you believe that way, you're ignorant of the scripture. Because some of those folks we call heroes in the scripture, yea, like Moses. Yea, like Jeremiah. Yea, like Elijah. And others. Were all, if you read it correctly, had suicidal thoughts. Even in the midst of their process, when God was silent and everything was dark, God had a purpose. God had a plan. And God is extending his hand of deliverance to somebody right now that's hearing this. You've had thoughts of doing self-harm. You've had thoughts of self-destruction. You've had thoughts of suicide. You're in good company. Amen. You don't have to be ashamed of that. That's a common, normal emotion that people go go through in times of despair. And if it's traumatized you, if it's affected your life, and maybe a family member of ours has succumbed to suicide, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry it happened. But God's talking to us today. And how are you going to prevent the next one if you don't address the subject? Now, we've had a good time in the house, right? I'm not trying to put a downer on this. I'm just trying to obey the Holy Ghost. And this is the only way I know to do it, is when He says speak, speak it. So I'm going to tell you today, and I'm not going to ask you to embarrass yourself or do anything like that. But I believe somehow, in some atmosphere, whether in your seat, standing, sitting, or up here in the prayer area, if you would just turn that over to Jesus right now. Say, Jesus, I want to be like that man, that no-name man that Pastor was talking about today. And it would almost be like God's daring us to define our purpose. What do you get up for every morning? Oh, glory to God. Some intercessors, you need to be praying right now. Please pray. Because there's lives. Let me just go ahead and I'll say this, and don't offend anybody, but there's children in our presence right now that need to hear this. Jesus gives you life. Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what you go through in life, Jesus is your reason for getting up every morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody let the Holy Spirit move upon your life right now. Somebody ought to rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made for you. This is the day, if you're not born again, this is the day that God has made for you, given you a chance. You, but I feel an attitude of gratitude in this place right now. I heard my bishop say today, you don't know like I know what God has done for me. I'm thankful that He delivered me. I'm thankful that He set me free. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to take this with me this week. Tomorrow morning, I want to wake up and say, hey, this is what I wake up for. Amen. One last time, let's pray together. Lord, we love you. Jesus, we thank you so much for showing up in this house today, God. Lord, we thank you for your presence. God, we thank you for setting us free. Lord, I enter this place down and discouraged, Jesus, but I'm thankful for hope, God, and I'm thankful for joy, and I pray that you help us take it out of this place with us, Lord. In Jesus' name, let your will be done. And the church said amen. Amen. God bless you.